Ah, the book of Job. Yeah, this is going to be a good next 20 minutes. I'm going to just talk to you guys, share with you regarding the book of Job in a simple way. Again, there's far more insight on the website with verses and chapter references and all that kind of stuff. Go to nakedlife.org and you'll get all that information. But I want to just talk to you about Job. And the reason being is because I find that the body of Christ uses that as many in the body of Christ use that as a crutch for suffering at the hands of sickness or suffering at the hands of consequences that take place. And people believe it's God that's bringing it upon them. And they generally relate themselves being righteous and in the same class as Job and say, you know what, maybe there's a bigger picture that I don't understand, and then I need to just accept it. Very similar to the Buddhist teaching. So hopefully you're going to enjoy the next 20 minutes. Okay? Yeah, so now regarding the context. So what year was Job around approximately? And the reason why that's important is to actually understand what the covenant Job was under and if he had access to the Torah and to the scriptures. Job was actually just after the time of the patriarchs. Okay, so it's about 1900 BC. We know this because Eliphaz, which is his one of his eldest friends, he was the son of Esau. Now, I know Esau's son was Eliphaz. Is that the same Eliphaz? Well, it could be, and there's a high probability that it was, but even if it wasn't, and was his great-great-great-great-grandson, we do know that he was from Teman, and Teman is the city of Edom, and Edom was descendants of Esau. So we know this was of the descendants of Esau. So it was after Esau. Also, Job was about 190 years old when he died. Septuagint says 240. So in terms of perspective, Abraham's grandfather, Nahor, was living about the same age as Job. And we know that before Moses, typically people lived longer. I know Joseph was 110, but generally speaking, people lived longer before Moses, and before Moses was 120. So that gives a good proxy that Job was before Moses, and he was after Esau. Okay, so generally between that period, and it's more likely that he was closer to Esau's sons or grandsons time period, so about 1900 BC. Okay, so how long was Job actually sick for? Probably less than 6 months. You say, well, how do you know this? Well, Job and his friends, when they heard, okay, they didn't wait around, when they heard, they came. That's pretty immediate. And when they came, they didn't come in bits and pieces. And one came and the next one came as if they were all from very, very far away. I know they were different nationalities. One was a Temanite, one was a Nemanite, one was a Shuite. But that's their nationality. It doesn't mean that they actually came from these places. If you look at their nationality in terms of the distance, the furthest one was 700 kilometers from Uz, where Job was. That's the furthest. But again, the high probability is that their friends were within the same area where he was. Let's give it, worst case, 150 kilometers. 150 kilometers, 15 days of travel. That's to go there and come back. And so Job must have been maybe sick for 2, 3, 4 months, and that's when these friends came to him. And we know that when these friends came to him, they fasted with him for 1 week, and then there was about a day of making sacrifices, and then Job was healed. So it's in total, it must have been about 6 months. Anything more than 6 months, it becomes less and less probable. Okay, what is suffering a result of? Why did Job suffer? I know that he was righteous, he was blameless, he was upright in heart, and there was none like him on the earth. So some people have a perception that he did not sin. That's not true. Before the Bible says that all have sinned and all have fallen short before the glory of God. There's no right one righteous, no, not one. So how do I make sure that the scripture equals the scripture and I don't take scripture and then ignore the other parts? The reason is we need to look up the words blameless and upright. Blameless does not mean sinless. Blameless means that there's no cause. Outward cause. In other words, if your sins are covered, you are blameless. And because of his many sacrifices, it covered his sins. just like Hebrews 9 verse 22 talks about. The other one is upright. Upright does not mean sinless. Upright means when you fear God and you shun evil. That's upright. We also know from the scripture that all suffering is a result of sin. If Adam did not fall, suffering would not have existed on this planet. There's no suffering in heaven. And the Bible says in Proverbs 26 verse 2, it says, like a flittering sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. So there's a cause. What is the cause? Again, all have sinned. Even those that are born into sin, even a baby. So obviously there was sin in Job. He was not sinless, and which we will talk about shortly. So the question becomes, okay, why did God brag? You know, like, why did he initiate it? And I know some will say, well, because he can. He's God. He can do what he wants. And he wanted to basically prove to Satan that Job was more focused on him and try and test Job, right? And that's why he initiated it twice. But that's not true. God had, as if God needs to prove anything to Satan. I don't understand why people think that. But God had Satan do something without Satan actually knowing the intent. Satan was motivated by pride, and he wanted to prove God wrong. And God knew this, right? So, and God's motivation was to actually help Job. And the scripture says in James 5, verse 11, that because God is merciful and very compassionate on Job, that's why he did it. Now, I can imagine some of you guys thinking, well, how can that be merciful and compassionate? Exactly, because you're not understanding the intent of why God did it. If you understand the intent, then you understand that God was very compassionate and very merciful, just like James 5 verse 11 talks about. Remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1-5. Paul did something very similar. Think of what he did. There was a man that was sleeping with his father's wife. He was in the church, and he was a Christian, and he was sleeping with his father's wife. This is what Paul did. He handed him over to Satan. Why? Is it because he hated the man? No. But this was the purpose for Paul doing this, so that his soul may be saved. So Job must have been doing something very similar to this, because he was causing him to backslide, and God saw the heart, the intent, and said, I need to help him. So he couldn't stay under God's protection, because he was literally breaking some fundamental law, just like this man was. The difference is, this man and Paul was blatantly sinning, and he knew this, where Job didn't know what his sin was. Then the question I know some will ask is, well, why did God allow his children to be killed? Shame, his poor children. Okay, firstly, his children did not suffer. They died. Okay? There was no suffering. They died. Number two, they weren't young children. They were adults. They were not under his authority. They were at their own houses. Okay, so just be clear. Number two, Job was sacrificing for them regularly. Why do you think he sacrificed for them regularly? Why would you suffer for your children regularly? Unless you knew that your children weren't doing something right. And then the worst sin that they could actually ever do is curse God in their hearts and speak it out. That's the worst. So Job was trying to prevent that, because he knew probably their hearts. And it reminds me very similar to the prophet Eli. Remember his sons, what they used to do? He prayed for his sons, and we know what happened to his sons, right? They were his sons, he prayed for them, and we know what happened. These sons weren't living right themselves. Okay, so why or what was Job's sin? And I know people say, well, no, it's not sin. God just allowed it because he's sovereign, and Job's sin didn't cause this to have come upon him. Because the Bible does say that God said to Satan that he attacked Job without cause. You see? So without cause, there was no cause. And notice, in terms of the context, he was speaking to Satan. So Satan had no cause to attack Job. In other words, Satan cannot attack Job unless he goes through the legal means, which is things through words or his actions. And so he didn't have access to Job through those avenues, because one, maybe he wasn't speaking or having those actions, or two, that he covered his sins when he did his blood sacrifices. He covered them. So Satan didn't have access to those things. Okay, so what was Job's sin? Job's sin was self-righteousness. That's what his sin was. And you can find this in Job 34 verse 37, Job 40 verse 4, Job 42 verse 5 to 6. And the result of self-righteousness is fear. When Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they wanted to be like God, notice self-righteousness, when they wanted to be like God, they ate of the fruit. That instantly caused them to have fear. Job says the things that he greatly feared came upon him. This is in Job 3 verse 25. Greatly feared. Throughout the scripture, the word greatly feared is always associated with God, fearing God. But he feared the consequences. He feared the consequences of the things more than he feared God, and because of the self-righteousness. Elihu says to Job and to his friends, first he said to Job, God repays man according to his works. And then he goes and tells his friends that Job adds rebellion to his sin. And the reason why he's adding rebellion to his sin, because his many words of trying to prove himself right and how righteous he is, he's adding rebellion to his initial sin. Elihu was one of the ones that people never talk about. The fourth of his friends that actually said exactly what God had said. And notice, God never cursed Elihu. He did the friends. He cursed the friends. And the reason why he cursed his friends is because the friends gave Job the reason, but it was not the reason. Only Elihu gave the right reason. And that's why God repeated the things that Elihu had said. But no one ever tells you that, do they? And then God goes on and he talks about pride. Now, if you ever asked me and you said to me, oh, what have I done? What have I done? And I spend all my time talking to you about maybe a whole chapter talking about pride and the king of pride and must watch the pride and things like that. Would you get the impression that your problem would be pride? Why is it that when we read the scriptures, we don't think like that? That God spent a whole chapter speaking about the pride, talking about the devil, the Leviathan, and he goes on and says that he, the devil, is the king of the children of pride. Now, if I said that to you, what would you think? That you were prideful? Guess what? Job got it. And that's why he repented. Wow. Job spent all this time trying to defend his position, saying that he was righteous, that he wasn't. There was no cause for him for sin, and he wanted to find out from God why there was sin, what was the sin. Then Elihu spends five chapters talking about pride and self-righteousness, and then that Job is adding rebellion to his sin by his continual words. And then God talks about pride and self-righteousness, and God actually talks about the devil for one whole chapter, who's the king of pride. And then Job responds, and he repents. And when he responds, this is what he does. He puts his hand over his mouth. He says, I lay my hand over my mouth. And then he says, therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, things that were for Job's benefits, too wonderful for him, because God was protecting him. And then Job says, which I did not know. Notice it was past tense, because now he knows. God revealed to him it was to protect Job. Protect Job from what? Protect Job from himself and from his downward spiral. He was so focused on his self-acts, his own works, his own things that he was doing, that he was getting worse and worse. And if God let him continue, yes, he would have been protected because of his blood sacrifices. But what would have happened is he would have moved further and further away from the Lord. So God was very merciful and very compassionate, like James 5 verse 11 says. And the end intended for the Lord was to help Job closer to him. So the question that someone will ask, so is the suffering supposed to bring people closer to the Lord? Well, sometimes suffering does bring people closer to the Lord. But the point is, if Job didn't seek the Lord, Think of it. If he didn't seek the Lord, he would not have been healed. If he never sought the Lord diligently with fasting and prayer, and like most people, they go, well, God's bringing this upon me. I always ask them, well, then do what Job did. He sought the Lord. The difference is Job sought the Lord because of his anger. He sought the Lord because he was righteous. But we need to seek the Lord and say, why, Lord? What must I do differently? And when Job realized what it was in his life, he repented and he changed his way. And then God healed him. But again, that's what he did. He healed him after Job prayed for his friends, his three friends, not Elihu. Now, if Job knew what the sickness, the cause of all of this was earlier, then he could have repented. But sometimes, like for example, this situation, the suffering brought the weakness in Job to the surface. It's like boiling a pot of a chicken. The fat eventually rises to the surface so that you can see it. Initially, you don't see it. And that's what Job was seeing. He was seeing that the conditions of his heart and the pressure revealed his heart. And notice something. Satan's nowhere to be found at the end. Even more proof that it's not about Satan. God used Satan to get this, without Satan actually knowing, right? Because God doesn't bring destruction on his people. And you need to understand something. And when destruction comes on by natural elements like Job, don't run from God, but to him. And also, this message of Job doesn't promote sitting back and accepting it, but doing something about it, either seeking counsel from God like Job, but now with a humble heart, okay, not, oh me, I'm righteous, or as a Christian under a way better covenant. We are on a way, Christians are on a way, way better covenant than Job had. He didn't have what we have. We have Holy Spirit inside us. We have the Bible. He didn't have any of that. He had to do everything by cause and effect. Everything. Wow. We have Holy Spirit. We have the Bible. We have the power of Christ under his authority. Where we command the demons to leave and they leave. Think of the power that we have in him, in Jesus Christ. Job wasn't a child of God. Okay, he was righteous, but he wasn't a child of God. Only those in Christ are children of God. And that's us. We are more than conquerors. So instead of accepting the situation, we are to battle against the spiritual world of darkness. With Satan is his head. We need to fight against Satan. Destroy the works of the devil like Jesus did. And we need to be imitators of him all the time. And we need to expand his kingdom on this earth. That's the message of Job. I hope you enjoyed it.